meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's going on there, Drew?
Not much. You have a good birthday softball game?
Yeah, I've had a nice softball game. There was pie, there was barbecue, and there was softball. These are my favorite things.
Yeah. I didn't know you liked banana cream pie, though.
I like it from the apple pan.
Oh, yeah.
Special place. Yeah.
Elaborate.
Yeah.
I've never seen so much meat in one place. Not since I like saw a zebra killed by a group of lions or something.
I'll tell you, there's... Well, I'll just go ahead and drop names. A place called Dr. Hoggly Woggly's in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
Great barbecue. The best.
I like the fact that you guys didn't just limit it to ribs.
No.
Sausage, chicken, anything that came off an animal.
Well, Jimmy, Jimmy's a maniac. Jimmy calls me on Thursday, and he was in his dressing room. I guess he called me up in the writer's room, and I need to talk to Adam. So he's like, what kind of meat do we want for this barbecue? I said, no. He said, what do you like better, the spare ribs or the beef ribs? I said, I like the spare ribs. I think they're more flavorful. He goes, check. Okay, gotcha. And then he hangs up the phone. And then the meat starts showing up at the party. He's got the spare ribs. He's got the beef ribs. He's got the pork brisket. He's got the beef brisket. He's got the hot links. And he's got the chicken.
Yeah.
And he has 60 pounds of all five or six different meats. Like, I don't know what meat we were missing. Possibly minced meat, maybe spam. I don't know.
Ostrich. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some emu that didn't get delivered, evidently, but a rib from every animal was represented at this barbecue.
And Brian reminded me.
I don't know why he called me. Wanted to know which one I wanted when he just bought all of them.
That's the comedy. But Brian reminded me that I pointed out how the human species behaves around sort of a recent kill, and all the men were sort of crouched down, powering meat, telling jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There were women folk, and occasionally a young male would venture over to try to court away one of the women from the little clan.
Yeah, guys get very visceral around the softball. The bat becomes a club.
Oh yeah,
the meat. Well, that's meat. So yeah, we had a delightful time. Also, banana cream is not at the top of my pie list, although I do enjoy it. But if you go to the right place,
it was quite a pie.
You get a nice pie.
Yeah.
And somebody wanted to work a chocolate cream in there, but I dismissed that as so much putting in a pie
cream.
shell with some Cool Whip on top of it. That you're not fooling me. I know pudding in a pie shell when I see it. That ain't pie, my friend, just because it has the word pie in it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's pie in the sky is what that is. Thank you, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Had a delightful time. Then went out with Drew and his lovely wife Saturday night for a nice dinner.
That was fun.
A lot of Drew this weekend.
Yeah.
Had a nice bottle of wine and ate a steak.
Yeah, more meat. Yeah. We hadn't had enough meat that day.
Well, let me tell you my meat regiment. Nothing but ribs all day on Saturday, and then Saturday night out for a nice steak with Dr. Drew. And then today, basketball hoops and finished off the rest of the meat.
Of course.
Yeah. They work. They come right back to life. You know what a microwave is? It's like, to me, it's what a crash cart is to a dead patient.
Yes.
It's the paddles. Clear.
Boom.
Yes.
Good as new.
Yes, I put the ribs in there, put them in for a minute and 33 seconds, not a minute and 30 seconds. I'm a big time saver. I press three twice. I get the extra 3 seconds, no problem. Besides, it's not a minute 30. That's just a random arbitrary number anyway. But the point is it brought those ribs and brisket right back to life today. And I ate the rest of the pie today, too.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Trying to kill myself with food. I suggest you all join me. Brandy?
Yeah.
It's great. You know, it's great when your birthday. First off, my birthday is not till tomorrow, but I declared it my birthday on Friday.
Your birthday weekend. Well, just been, Memorial Day, May, me.
Just been.
We figured that out on Thursday.
Just drinking and eating pie for 4 days straight now. And then tomorrow, it's my birthday. Sorry, Brandy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, but you got to wait till tomorrow.
Okay, well, here it's midnight, so.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this is Missouri.
Good times. Birthday, you're not special. All right, baby doll, what's up?
By the way, Anderson was not happy with not being invited to your party.
Oh, well, look. Let me explain something. I intentionally structure my life this way. I don't get involved.
Yeah, I know.
My wife sent out the emails.
I know.
Jimmy was doing it, and whoever was doing it. And it was basically all the people who played softball the year before.
I don't care if I wasn't invited. It's the fact that Brian was. That pisses me off.
Brian wasn't invited. Brian just said something about softball, or I said something to him about softball. I didn't invite Brian.
Anderson wasn't
to,
here that night, too. It was Thursday night.
Oh, it was? I didn't invite Brian to a birthday party. I invited Brian to a softball game that he's played in the past. You see what I'm saying? Brian likes softball.
But I don't.
I don't know.
I already challenged you. I'd kick your ass at softball.
Oh, really?
Guaranteed. I've seen your swing on the man show. Not too good.
I think Brian, you got to talk to Anderson. Yeah.
Anderson got those legs.
No, he doesn't get the pop and the bat that the A-man has.
Right. Next caller!
Right, yeah, thank you.
All right, two.
And how dare you? And Drew, don't shake that thing.
There we go.
All right, where are we, Drew?
Two.
All right.
Brandy?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question about the Depo Provera shot.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if it could make you infertile.
No.
Because, I've been on it for about 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And I've been having, pains in my stomach.
Right. You'll get your pee. You'll bleed, basically, for a couple of months.
I haven't bled.
Well, okay.
I stopped bleeding the day I got it. So
okay.
I haven't done any of that.
All right, well, typically what you do is bleed the first shot and then no period from then on. Sometimes it can stop right away, but that's how it works. You stop your period.
All right, but good times.
That has nothing to do with fertility. Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, so it can't hurt my ovaries?
No.
No, she's fine.
No.
Let's talk to Shea?
Shay?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's happening there, Shay?
Nothing much. I'm just sitting here.
This is depression night.
Yeah. And I'm going to hang up on you if you don't whip it up real fast.
What do you mean?
No. I don't mean let more air escape. I mean get it together. Let's go. You got to rally. You're on the radio.
Okay.
Here you go. And Shay, 15.
Okay. My parents do not allow me to see my boyfriend because they think that I'm going to go and make some huge mistake, which they already know that I've made before, and they just won't allow me to see him because we're moving to Texas and they think that I'm going to go screw him and I'm going to end up getting pregnant and I'm going to screw up my life like that.
All right. Well, sounds reasonable.
And you did that already once already?
Yeah. And
okay, well, that's where they get the idea that you might do it again.
Well, they don't really know that. They just have this feeling that I wasn't like...
No, they know
you have a feeling based on...
your previous behavior.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's how you get feelings about stuff. Like when you feel like, hey, we better lock this guy up. We better stop him before he kills again.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all feelings based on him killing the first time.
Right.
Not that you having sex is a homicide, but everything in life is sort of based on the last time you came to the plate and what you did.
Well, that's the thing that they only, thought that I did, and then I, convinced them that I didn't, and then, they think that I'm just going to go and either do it again or do it for the first time. And I was...
We didn't follow one word of that.
I did. She's just BS. She's just dancing around the truth. She did do it the first time.
Convinced parents.
They didn't have any real proof that she did, and she somehow talked them out of it.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean you didn't do it.
Yeah, but they think that I didn't. But they always know that the possibility was over.
Well, then they're even smarter than you. They're even wiser than you give them credit.
Listen,
somebody a zombie
Shay,
in your background.
What happened? You get dropped on your head when you were younger?
No, my sister hit me with a frying pan, though.
That could do it.
Yeah.
That could do it.
Cause,
yeah. Because there's some retardation in your voice.
No, there isn't.
Is your head the shape of a frying pan? That happens.
No, my head is not the shape of a frying pan.
All right, now I'm confused. All right, so here's the deal. Don't get pregnant. Don't have sex. Move to Texas. You don't want to be screwing around with this guy if you're moving to Texas anyway. True.
There we go. It's on.
The monitor goes out when you hit it with your foot.
No, it was going out when I hit the table at all.
Yeah, you can't touch anything
I
in
know.
Here. Do you understand?
It's high tech.
This place is like a Fabergé egg, except for Fabergé eggs look nice.
Mm.
This is all these sort of delicacy of a Fabergé egg, except for it looks like a plastic putrid thing. It's like someone took the egg that legs Drew, you know what I'm talking about?
The legs, the pantyhose comes in?
Yeah, nice. And then cramped in it. That's what this place looks like. Brian?
Yo, brother, what's up, man?
You're 17. What's going on?
Actually, you know, even though your birthday is tomorrow, I just want to say happy birthday, Adam. And
thank you, Brian.
You know, I think you should have Anderson play your favorite Blood, Sweat, and Tears song.
Whatever.
Brian. Now he's mad because he didn't get invited to the softball game.
Screw him, man.
I know.
Yeah, but the Blood, Sweat, and Tears is torturing the poor man.
Yeah, you should learn to live with it, man. It's great music.
Yeah. Shut up! Anderson has an aversion to quality.
Yo, Anderson can go to hell, man.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Relax. What's up?
All right. Well, I just want to say...
What is that?
You look great. Brian sounds like a delight. Sean?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah.
You want to know if ecstasy can cause nightmares and cold sweats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long after you used it?
I took it on Friday.
And absolutely. In fact, you for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And if is that the first
time?
It's
kind of like I haven't really fought. I mean, like I've slept, but it hasn't been like sleeping. Right after I fall asleep, I'll start to have really weird dreams, mm-hmm. like violent dreams mm-hmm. about. I'm a little nervous.
Are you taking any other medication?
No.
And you only done ecstasy once?
Have I done it more than once?
Yes.
Yeah.
How many times?
More than I'd care to comment.
All right.
Like, I haven't done it. It's been, the last time I took it was Friday. It was me and my girlfriend. And before that, it's probably been like 4 or 5 months. I used to do it a lot when I was younger, but not really anymore.
It tends to have more of a cumulative effect. It doesn't really matter It doesn't really matter that you take periods of time in between the uses. It doesn't seem to make that much difference.
Nah, I bet it does.
It makes intuitive sense that it should make some difference, and it probably makes some, but not much. So much less than you would think it would. Let's put it that way.
So it's the amount of times you've done it over the
total dose.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total dose.
Finding out bad things about this drug, at least according to Drew.
Yeah.
Although with doctors, you never can tell. We haven't talked about this in a while, but I don't know where it came up the other day, but doctors get into that,
This is the race of the hand thing.
Yeah, what were we talking about? Yeah, no, I was saying, you know, doctors do this and they lose their credibility. They go, look, you smoke 3 cigarettes a day, you smoke 3 packs a day, it's no different. You're a smoker and it's going to kill you. They do that kind of stuff, and it's stuff that's like, huh, what? You know, you wearing the seatbelt half the time is like never wearing the seatbelt. You using a condom half the time is like never wearing a condom. Or if if you don't wear a condom one time out of 20 times, it's like never wearing it. You might as well not wear. They throw around these things. They're part doctor, but they're also like part Jewish mom. And that stuff, people stop listening to them a little bit when they start throwing that stuff around. And I think this is what goes on sometimes with some of these drugs. One exposure to so-and-so is enough to, you know, they were doing this a lot with Coke, you know, just one exposure, just once, just one time. Mm-hmm. They're really nailing this down. And then everyone knew people that did it 50 times. And it was he's alive.
Yeah.
Especially Coke, you know.
Yeah. No.
But the problem is ecstasy does screw up your brain.
That's the problem.
And people aren't getting that message because I think we hit the other stuff a little too hard.
And the problem with ecstasy is some of the stuff doesn't show up till down the road. You know, well after you use it sometimes.
I was reading some, and what are we doing still on pot? I was just reading some article in the paper last week about some mayor or governor or something of some state is going to go a little bit easier on medical marijuana people now, and now they can have, really, this is what, we're still, what, let me check my watch. What are we in, 2003? Really? Still, this is it, federal agents going in and busting pot farms that giving out the roaches to guys with AIDS in San Francisco. This where the resources are going. This is what we're talking about. Really, we're still talking about it, still discussing it. Don't people know that some people like smoking pot and other people don't really much care for it? And the ones that like smoking pot seem to smoke pot, and the ones that don't care for it don't really do it. And that's about it.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
That's it.
And listen, if you got AIDS, smoke out. Mm-hmm. Be my guest.
I'm with you. We give you morphine. Why not pot?
It drives me insane. And, you know, the doctors say, well, they're more effective things. And, okay, but maybe the guy likes his joint. His body's riddled with cancer. He wants a toke on his joint. Let him have a couple tokes before he kicks off.
Well, but really, I think the real lunacy is, why is it okay to give a profoundly addictive drug, morphine, but not okay to give that marijuana?
I don't know. It's obviously there's no logic in it. I just want to know why the government is still talking about it. We have to have a goddamn conversation about this every third week. And whoever's in charge has to, the drug czar's got to send agents down to bust these pot farms.
After he finishes it in Vegas.
Yeah, when he's done stuffing $8 million worth of nickels into a slot machine at Harrah's, then he can send his stormtroopers down to bust the hippie in San Francisco is trying to give roaches to the people that are riddled with cancer. What are we talking about it for?
I think poor Todd, what was his name? Oh, that guy that went to jail for...
Woody Harrelson's friend who was in here?
Yeah.
Todd McCormick.
Todd McCormick, there you go.
Yeah. Still
languishing in jail, yeah.
Listen, I understand that there are drugs that are bad. And this is the other thing, too, that we don't do as a society. There's no shades of gray. I don't know why we're not interested in that as a society. You know, the retard right-wing abortion guys, it's murder. It's murder, pure and simple. You know, I had a friend who lost his 7-year-old daughter a couple of weeks ago.
What?
Yeah.
Who?
Jonathan was the keyboard player for the Acme Theater. Great guy, great old friend, nicest guy in the world.
Yes.
He couldn't have been a nicer guy. His wife isn't not a nicer woman than wife. And a beautiful 7-year-old daughter, just boom, gone.
What?
Just a virus, pow, gone.
Oh, my God.
Got it one night, gone the next day.
Oh, my God.
But the point is this is not the same as having an abortion in the first trimester.
Mm-mm.
And it's not even the same as, stillborn. And it's not the same as a spontaneous abortion in the third trimester, This is devastation. There are shades of gray. They're, hey, man, that's a bummer, and boy, that's going to take a little something to get over. And then there's, hey, you're devastated. Your life's not going to be the same, and you'll be carrying around this pain for as long as you're on the planet, and you'll have to cope with this every day. That's what this is. So here's what I'm saying, though. Murder is not murder. That's devastation, 7-year-old dying, not a little cap of gel at 3 weeks. Mm. And with drugs, they're drugs. You got your crack and you got your crank and your speed and all the heroin. Then you got your weed. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why the government doesn't recognize the difference in things. We're not really we don't get the shades of gray thing very well.
When it comes to logic of morals and law, they try to come up with absolutes.
Yes.
This is right, this is wrong.
Right. And now we're living in a society that if you're out in the middle of the desert and there's a 4-way stop sign and there's no other cars in sight and you don't come to a complete stop, you roll through it, you're getting the same ticket as if you blew through at 50.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you end up with. Mm-hmm. That's the life you end up with.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Or we can't just figure out our own life, sort of decide what's safe and what's unsafe. Decide that, hey, if we want to smoke a joint once in a while, it's our business. Can't have a pot plant in your yard. Couldn't handle that. Really? You don't think I could have a pot plant in my yard? What would happen? Start peddling to the neighbor kids?
You'd go insane.
I'd go insane. I get up on the roof with a hunting rifle.
Oh, of course.
What would go on? I'd start dealing? Jesus Christ. I swear, one day when I get nutty enough, I'm growing a huge pot plant in my front yard and I'm taking on the government. I really am.
When you get done, okay.
I could win that case. Idiots.
Not a bad idea.
Abby?
Hello.
You're 19.
I am.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to both of you guys. How are you doing?
Good. And hold on 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Where are all you gun-toting pussies? Where are you when I'm talking about my right to grow a pot plant? Where are you? Where's Chuck Heston? Chuck Heston's like, yeah, confiscate the house, his car, and lock him up. Really? This is where you stand on freedoms? It makes me sick. I'd like to hear one of these gun-toting a-holes, one of these right-wing, NRA guys step up and say, yeah, we don't mind if a guy wants to grow a pot plant, too, once in a while.
As long as he has a gun.
Yeah, they'll never do that. Abby?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. Try to follow this, guys. I was raped when I was 11 years old.
Good times.
Just recently, actually in January, I had sex with a guy. It was my first time having sex since I was raped. It was my last time. I don't know his last name. I don't have a phone number. I don't have an address. He has none of that information for me. He tried to get it. He wanted to know, you know, more about me. He wanted to know anything. And I was just like, no, I don't want to deal with that. And what, part of me feels like, okay, cool. I got that out of my system. Now I know if I have sex with someone that I actually care about, know something about, I'm not going to freak out and hit him or cry or something terrible like that. But part of me, it just makes me feel like a horrible slut. And I just wanted to know your opinion on that.
That I suspect you'd been sexually abused in some way before you were 11, right?
No.
I thought she got raped at 13.
I said 11.
Yep. 11.
And nothing happened? You weren't abused in any way before that?
Nope.
Was it a violent rape?
Yeah.
Who did it?
Actually, a couple guys that I went to school with. They're a couple years older than me.
They held you at gunpoint? Knife point?
Knife.
Knife point.
It's a nice school.
Yeah.
They were in what grade?
I was in sixth grade. The way our school worked was art classes and gym classes and stuff were just kind of, you know, all the grades went to them together, just kind of intermingled, and they had failed or something. I mean, they were older than I was.
And well, how old?
13? 15?
I would say, like, 14, 15.
Did you prosecute them?
No.
How come?
What grade were they in?
They were in eighth grade, but they should have been in high school by that point.
And why didn't you press charges?
I didn't tell anyone about it until I was a freshman in high school. I was just embarrassed and scared and...
Where were you when this happened?
I was at school.
Then did you fight?
I was staying after for a basketball game, and I was just kind of hanging around the school, you know.
Did you try to fight him off?
I did. I tried to, yeah. But, you know, it's 2-on-1.
So you didn't have any kind of a freeze reaction?
Once they pulled out the knife and actually held it to my throat.
You froze?
Yeah.
All right. Because that's normal at that point.
Yeah. So... this is during daylight hours, right?
It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Well, there's lots of things that can be going on here, Abby. You could be having post-traumatic stress reactions, and you could be sort of trying to control those sorts of symptoms, which you'd expect to have after something like this. You could be having sort of disavowed aspects of yourself that you don't want to get in touch with, and so anything sexual becomes something that's sort of, again, disavowed. And so you can have sex with people you don't really care about or that you feel badly about, but to have somebody you really, truly are intimate with doesn't fit because you feel that part of yourself is something that you won't have anything to do with. You see?
And so I'm sorry.
Go ahead. The biggest what?
The biggest problem I've had with it was, you know, for years afterwards, I was just totally afraid of men, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, understandable.
And I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, but you haven't had any treatment for this. There could be a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And I joined a church shortly after that, and they had support groups and things for that sort of thing.
Rape survivor.
And, yeah.
How long did you go to
that?
That
helped me a lot,
how long
actually.
Did you? All right.
I didn't have any, like, professional...
All right, well, here's the deal. Very simple plan. Go ahead and have a relationship. Find somebody you really like. Be careful with who you're attracted to. Make sure it's not the bad guy, the dangerous guy, the exciting guy. Try to be intimate. If you can't, then you need professional help.
Right,
if you can, that's
fine. I
don't
understand the part where she had sex with a guy who was trying to find her, but...
Because she couldn't stand the intimacy. Her thing was, this has to be a wicked expression that I have with this guy that I don't care about. Get that out of my system.
All right. Purge myself of something.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, Loveline, what's up? I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that night off, that Memorial Day night off, made a huge difference.
In what?
I just feel like I got a week off.
Yeah.
Felt, it was amazing.
Felt long.
Yeah.
Felt weird. Jesus. You know, Jimmy's show is off this week, too.
Yeah.
It's good news.
This coming week.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. I was thinking to myself when I was eating my fourth rib and my fifth spoonful of banana pie after playing six games of basketball about 4 o'clock today.
The coleslaw was good, too.
I thought I could do this every day.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was my only gig, oh, yeah. Travis?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Yep.
All right. Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
I have a question. I was having sex with my girlfriend the other night, and, well, I just want to know if without a condom, can she still get pregnant without me coming?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next caller.
You can drool. You can dribble.
You dribble. Pre-cum.
Yeah? Do you pre-cum without knowing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? How does it happen?
Stuff leaks out when you get excited, period. So
really?
So if a penis goes into a vagina, there's a risk of pregnancy.
Well, it's like you can drool when you're asleep and you don't know it.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
About the morning after pill, how much would that cost?
See? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, Drew, you think this bogus
call? He just wants to hear himself on the radio.
Oh, okay. Travis, Drew doesn't believe you.
It's about $35. Next call.
All right. Drew's had an ass full of Travis.
Well, he was like, Adam, what are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing a flirty handful of chiffon and muckluck boots.
There you go.
All right, let's...
How about does it?
Let's talk to Stephanie, who's 17. Stephanie?
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, every guy I go out with, I get in a really serious relationship with,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like no matter how much
Wait,
I follow...
Wait, I heard a smoke detector.
I did too.
Yeah, it needs a battery.
All right, let's just be quiet until it goes again.
35 seconds though, right?
33 to 35 seconds.
Are you in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Went off.
How long have you been living with that?
A long time.
Months?
Yeah.
Years?
No.
Months.
No, the battery, Drew, if the low battery thing chirped for years, it would mean there was enough left in the battery.
So you can go for a long time.
To put all those chirps together to put together an alarm.
Listen, here we go.
Let's see.
Not now. There it is.
There it is. Okay. All right, so that's 36. Yeah. I'm doing the math here. I did time the first one. We're at about a 42-second interval here, Drew. So, we just went off at 36. We can look forward.
Sure,
I'm too tired.
52.
Yeah, we'll work it out. I'll tell you when it's coming up. So you've had this smoke detector with the chirp going off every 42 seconds for how long in your bedroom?
I say at least for 6 months. I don't notice it now.
6 months. Do you understand that would drive an iguana crazy?
Yeah, it drives my grandmother crazy downstairs. She says
downstairs.
I have a baby in my bedroom.
Right.
Downstairs.
She's obviously a woman of action, this grandmother of yours.
Yeah. Shh.
Did we miss it?
Quiet.
Wait a minute, we missed it. That's a full minute now.
No, we're not a full minute yet.
Yeah, now we are, 36.
Yeah, this is a disaster. What happened?
I don't know.
This is throwing my cadence off for the show. That smoke detector chirps like our metronome. That's how we pace ourselves.
Should we go right now? About 54 or so, right?
Well, we got our last one at 36.
Uh-oh.
Hold the phone up to the smoke detector, please.
Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
57.
It's, she's moving around the room, I think. It was much more
faint. You moving around?
I just got up and went across the room.
Yeah, get up next to the smoke detector, please.
Okay, I am.
Okay. So... This has been chirping. Where is the smoke detector, just for fun, in relation to your bed?
Across the room.
Across the room.
But the room's only 6 by 6, right?
It's above my bedroom door. My bed's across the room.
Hmm.
Okay.
How big's the room?
It's a pretty decent size. It's pretty big.
8 feet?
Huh?
8 feet by 4 feet. Yeah. It's prison cell. Okay, so anyway, what's your question?
Okay, I get in a serious relationship with every guy I go out with. Mm-hmm. And no matter how
much... Hold on.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Good.
We almost missed a chirp there.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, go ahead.
No matter how much I fall in love with them very easily. I get very emotionally attached.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I lose interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I keep going back to one guy in particular.
Is he the guy that won't have anything to do with you?
No, I mean, I keep going back to one of my ex-boyfriends.
Yeah, but is he the one that's especially rejecting to you?
No, he's not, he's always accepting me. I think that's one of the problems.
Is accepting you just for sex, or is he...
No, no. I mean, we have a really good emotional bond and really good friendship.
Hmm. Hold on 1 second.
We're about 5 seconds off. 3, 2, 1.
There we go.
Thank you. Yeah. That's how we amuse ourselves on the show. Time the Chirp. Who wants to play Time the Chirp? It's the nation's most boring
but
game
show.
But
just think of you sleeping in that room. That's the Chinese. Well, no, no.
For Adam, I would go insane.
That'd be the Chinese water torture.
Here's how I would sleep in that room. Chirp. One Mississippi. Two Mississippi.
I don't even notice it.
I know. That's a bad sign.
I know.
Okay. Well, God bless you. You'd make a great inmate. just block out the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
seems like more and more I do this with guys. I remind myself of my mother. My mother has been a lesbian for the past 4 months with an internet.
The
girlfriend.
Chirp drove her to women. True.
Why does your being attached to men remind you of your mother's lesbianism?
Well, my mother and my father were never married. They had two kids together. They were in an off and on relationship for about 17, 18 years.
Yeah. Let's just focus on your relationship with Dad and how that must have felt having him constantly sort of coming and going.
I was really close with my father. And
I understand. Really, that must have been extra painful then when he took off.
Yeah, well, I mean, we only lived with him once, and he was a bad alcoholic, and when my mother got pregnant with my younger sister, he almost pushed out a second-story window.
All right, so listen, Stephanie, you wasted too much time talking about the smoke detector, so we can't focus on your question. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But maybe some therapy's in order here with all you've seen and done in your short life.
I'm supposed to be having a counselor soon.
I'm diagnosed
with ADHD.
Yeah, don't worry about the ADHD so much. In fact, that makes me worry that you have the alcoholism gene that your dad had.
Doesn't the chirp drive that person more insane or less?
Yeah, I think they, good question. Probably less.
Really? Well, obviously.
Yeah.
And listen, isn't that some kind of IQ test? I mean, really? That's something you just adjust to and fall asleep with every night? Is there something going on?
Think how many hundreds of our callers we've proven that with.
I know, but what is going on in your universe that you can have a box that is 6 feet away from your head that chirps every 40 seconds and you just pull the light? Night, John boy. Night, Grandpa. Boom. Just go right to bed. It just go to bed with a chirping. I mean, here's the thing that's ironic about it. It's supposed to make an annoying chirp that you cannot tolerate so that you change the battery. Like, some scientists in Japan sat down and said, what is the most annoying sound we could make? And as it turns out, kids like it. We have teenagers who are just sort of reared on the chirp.
Yeah, well.
Pretty soon, I think they're going to include that in the noisemakers.
I think more.
You go to the sharper image, you get the babbling brook, you get the coastline, you get the windstorm, and you get the Radio Shack smoke detector with the bad 9-volt chirp.
Yeah, sure. Number six.
It's like grandma's house.
But I think it has more to do with the extreme arousal that people have been through when they've been with the alcoholic parent, the on-again, off-again dad, the abuse, the being pushed out the second-star window. So it takes a lot to get them...
Can't hear anything.
The engine started. You know what I'm saying? Right. To get through to them.
All right.
And their arousal systems have been sort of burnt out, let's say.
I like the part where her grandmother... once a week comes upstairs and says, that thing is driving me insane.
No, it's worse. She goes, you got to get rid of that bird. She thought it was a bird, she said.
Did she think it was a bird?
You had to ask her.
No, she didn't think it was a bird.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
Did
your grandma thought it was a bird, huh?
Yeah, she's like, is there a bird in your room? I'm like, no, it's my smoke detector. She's like, well, it's driving me nuts. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Get rid of that bird?
But it was driving her nuts for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she change the battery?
I don't know.
Okay.
You sure she got the fact that it was a smoke detector and not a bird?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You want to go there for Thanksgiving? Crazy grandma thinks there's a bird. The red light is going off on your bird. All right. Let's talk to Samantha. Samantha?
Yeah. Hello?
You're 23?
Yes.
Turn your stuff down.
I'm sorry, what?
Turn all that background noise off.
Everybody shut up!
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be good.
What's up?
Okay. I'll be really quiet. For some reason, I can only get off by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with my boyfriend, and I don't know if it's me or him. I don't know.
Have you ever had an orgasm during sex?
No.
That would be normal, right? Most women don't.
Well,
I would think. Well, I don't know. Being 23, I don't know.
No, most women.
What about What about through oral sex, though?
There you go. Most women need oral sex.
Well, yeah, that.
But... All right, well, that...
Oh, really? You get that?
That's most women, Samantha.
Oh, yeah.
Samantha.
You're fine.
That's normal function.
Why not the other way, though?
Because that's the way many women are put together. They have sex. They have sex orgasms during oral sex, but not during intercourse. That's
Listen,
normal.
We only talked to Samantha for 55 seconds. If she'd had the smoke detector going on, we would stretch it into 10, 15 minutes, but... We just get that question a lot.
Yeah.
Drew, 23-year-old women.
Hmm. Should be having orgasms.
I'm going to write a percentage. I'm going to write the percentage of women who can't have an orgasm through intercourse at age 23.
Okay.
All right. Hold on a second. Hold on. Now I'm going to see if we can... See if we can match numbers.
He's writing the number down. I can't see it.
Cannot have an orgasm...
Through intercourse.
Through intercourse. Got now give exact numbers. Don't round up.
Yeah,
all right.
And what other numbers are you going to give me?
All right, hold on. That's it.
Just that one?
Yes.
65%.
Oh, 65. Yeah. Much lower. I was at 80%.
Okay. Huh? Yeah, I could go with that.
You could? Why'd you go with 65 then, Jackass?
But I know you kind of downplay that one. You're always telling me that I'm making too much of that.
What do you mean? I've never been with a woman who has an orgasm that way.
Okay. Well, God damn it. I'm always telling
you. What do you mean you downplay it? I tell you
all the
time.
I always say that's normal, and you're like, oh, well, you sort of.
No, you go a little ballistic with it sometimes.
All right, but 80% is a good number.
Out of 10 chicks at 23 seems about right. It's not approaching half.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm. It gets to approaching half.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, when you don't care.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number is
Let's get some blood, sweat, and tears. I'd rather you sing to that. All right?
It might be coming. All right. Ready for the birthday show tomorrow. I'll bring in some CDs. Well,
maybe to sort of kick off your birthday around midnight, get something going. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to make myself a note here, Drew.
You like Cat Stevens, right?
I could listen to some Cat Stevens, but, you know, it's hard to jam to Cat. You know?
I don't like Cat Stevens.
It's hard to jam to Cat, you know?
Why? Why? Addison, why?
A couple of strong songs.
It's like
songs.
The only music from that era that I can actually tolerate.
Oh, please.
Oh, there's plenty of good stuff. Oh, my God. Plenty of good stuff.
You never heard of Deep Purple?
Yeah, come on, buddy.
No.
Deep Purple.
I mean, I've heard, but no.
I was just listening to Highway Star today. Singing about his car. Singing about his hair. Singing about his old lady. Guys, that's when bands sung about important stuff. That stuff they were going to do to their car.
It's like construction rock.
Yeah. Yep, that's all we did all day when we swung the hammer. Listen to a little Deep Purple.
Zeppelin.
A little Zeppelin. Maybe some Aerosmith, some Santana. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know you're getting old, by the way, though, when you're listening to the classic rock station and What I Like About You by the Romantics comes on, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not classic rock. I was in high school when that song came. No way. Because you're so used to hearing something from the Allman Brothers or, Eric Clapton when he was with Derek and the Dominoes or something like that. And then all of a sudden they're playing the Romantics.
Listen, Psychedelic Furs are classic rock now. That's 20 years ago.
I know, but I don't like hearing stuff that I listened to when I was in high school in the classic rock department.
Anything over 15 has got to go into classic rock. What do you say, Anderson?
No. Yeah. Classic rock is a genre. It's like 38 Special and Leonard Skinner. That's classic rock.
Yeah.
How dare you, Drew. Richard?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yep.
What's up?
I wanted to ask if fake boobs can pop.
No.
Not at all.
You got to put them in a vise.
Well, you want to, they have withstand unlimited pressure, I understand, right?
Yeah.
Really?
No, they can.
Oh, they can?
Yeah.
What are you doing to them?
No, it's just like it's a lot bigger than like she is.
They're what?
I don't know if I rest my like upper body on them for too long. If I put too much weight, they'll pop. They feel really weird.
No, I wouldn't think under sort of normal circumstances you could pop them, right?
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
If they creep you out, try not to put your full body weight on top of them. Like, let's say there's anything. Let's say you don't like scorpions. Try not to put your full body weight on a scorpion.
But I can't imagine that was the best job, best cosmetic job. If
you freak me out,
yeah, they feel so funny that they're bothering him. That's awful.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little boob backlash coming here soon. I think it's already begun.
Yeah, we're in it.
I'd like to talk to Dr. Marcel about how things have dropped off. Mm. And I think it's probably time for whoever's doing these procedures and whatever materials they're using, it's time for the next evolution. You know what I mean?
Back to
silicone. The boobs we're looking at today, those were your grandma's boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what the next evolution is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's going to be.
You mean in terms of what they look like or the approach or the materials or all that?
We got to be getting to the point pretty soon where you cannot tell.
Mm.
And it's still pretty obvious when someone has had a boob job.
With Rosa Blasi in here last week?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell.
She had a good-looking boob job.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, but I wasn't sucking on them or flogging them with my
penis.
But you
were looking at those pictures.
I mean, in my mind, I was. But, yeah, okay. All right. Good enough. Well, you know why? Mm. Because she had a full rack to begin with, and she sort of filled it out, or she changed the shape, but the bones were there. Alex?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks. Happy early birthday, Adam.
Thanks.
Let's see. I've been with my boyfriend for about 7 months, and we're really comfortable with each other, but it's been within the past, like, month and a half that every time we have sex during and after, I queef.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, we're comfortable with each other, but still it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering how I can stop that,
mm-hmm.
if I can. It, you know, and it's like I'm squeezing tight and trying not to let the air in, but it still happens.
Mm-hmm.
Can you excuse yourself afterwards and sort of let it out?
I do, but I'm wondering if there's just something I can do to stop that.
It's usually positional, so you kind of monkey around with positions.
Okay.
Yeah. Is moisture, what about moisture? Is that the friend of the queef or the foe of the queef?
I don't know. I don't think that really has anything to do with
it. It's the friend.
Yeah, I guess.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for it.
Yeah.
And should friend and foe sound so much alike? And should cheer and jeer?
Push and pull.
And push and pull. Really need to make those almost the same word? Okay. Anyway, hey, yeah, it's good times.
So it's more like a positional thing then?
But it bothers you but not him.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool with it, but still, I just, you know, it
kind
of...
Do you think he's uncomfortable and just not telling you?
Maybe. No, I mean, he's cool.
Let us reassure you. Doesn't bother him.
He's not uncomfortable, but there is that thing where anytime something happens that two people notice, it's like when one guy farts in the elevator, the door opens, the other guy gets in.
Right.
Both people want to say something. There's a weird silence.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Well, because he knows it bothers her.
Yeah.
If it didn't bother her, he wouldn't even notice it.
Now, it only happens when you're having intercourse. Doesn't happen after he withdraws and heads to the bathroom.
Yeah, it happens then too. It's like,
yeah,
I just
that's
it
when
out.
It gets funny.
But that
that's the comedy.
I know.
That's all right.
But that's when she can dismiss herself and
yeah,
you know,
that's just you.
Okay, and then really quickly.
Well, let me ask you something, Drew. Once in a while, for gas, I'll do the cheek spread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't get that flesh on flesh flap, you know.
So maybe if she spread herself.
Once in a while you get that cheek, you do that cheek pull and it's like
so she can try going with it a little more as opposed to fighting it.
I'm saying if you take the vagina and you squinch it down the other way like one of those old rubber plastic change purses,
mm-hmm.
you know, you push it in that way,
mm-hmm.
might you get a little less flap?
You might.
Why don't you try that, Alex?
And what was the other really quick thing?
Okay. Well, let's see. I went to the gynecologist a couple weeks ago, and my results to my pap smear came back abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back in and had some sort of procedure. I don't remember exactly what it was called. Something oscopy.
Colposcopy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering just how common is it for those results to come back abnormal? Because I kind of got freaked out.
Very, very common. It usually means wart virus. And it's something that needs to be sort of checked regularly and make sure it doesn't transform into cervical cancer.
All right. Well, good times. When we come back, we'll speak to Chris, who's a female.
No.
Why?
That's too. That was a quick one. I was trying to get in.
I like Chris. No, I'm talking about Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that call.
Okay.
So that's that follow-up to the girl that was dating the 400-pound guy or had a crush on a 400-pound guy.
Right, got it.
And we'll get to that after this. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Now we're going to follow up on a call we got, I think, 2 weeks ago. It's Chris, who's a female. She has a friend who's a big man, 400 pounds plus, and she's into him.
She's
and
in love
they're
with
best friends.
Him.
Yeah. She's in love with him, and he was in love with her, but she wasn't going to get started on anything unless he started to lose some pounds.
Yeah, she couldn't get over it.
And she shouldn't have to. That's enough. 400 pounds is a big enough mountain to get over. I'm fine with that. Last time we spoke to her, we said, look, just tell him straight out, hey, I love you, and I worry about your health, and I want to start a relationship, but I'm not going to start a relationship with a guy who can't make it up a flight of stairs. You start working on your weight, we'll begin the relationship.
But I was saying that I felt that that weight was there for a reason, to keep away intimacy, and so he's going to find a reason to sabotage this.
Interesting point. Now, I think that's more true with women, though, when they balloon up, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's guys up to about 300. But 400, now you're into the...
Trying to keep people away?
Yeah.
Hi,
Chris,
guys.
What's happening?
Yes, I did exactly what you suggested. I sat down and I did talk to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We got down to the weight issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we did decide exactly as Dr. Drew said that there was an underlying issue that he doesn't necessarily know of now.
Mm-hmm.
But we did actually get to the point where he is willing to talk to you guys and maybe just give him a little more motivation, maybe just talk to him a little more about what's going on with him.
Is he there now?
He is right here.
And what's his name?
His name is Tom.
Tom. All right.
Can I give the phone to him?
Yeah, but wait a minute. Let me ask you something, Chris.
Okay.
When you said to him, well, how much more motivation does he need other than he might get laid for the first time in 5 years? And a woman he's in love with is going to have a potential relationship with him. Like, why does he need to be motivated by us?
I think it's just because you guys are an outside source. It's a third party that doesn't have an emotional thing into this. Someone who can actually give him some really good insight into it.
All right. But at 400, you know, when you're morbidly obese at age 20-something.
He's 33.
33. You have to lose weight, whether you talk to me or Drew or you or anybody. Right?
There is a lot of emotional things going on.
All right, pass the phone off. You bore me.
You know, I'm sorry, baby. It's just...
I'm kidding, doll.
Okay.
Give the phone over, Chubby Chaser.
Okay, here we go. Let me let you talk to Tom.
All right.
Here we go.
Hi, guys.
What's happening, Tom?
You're overweight.
Drew,
you're
please.
Fat.
Please, Drew. We know.
Right, right.
Thank you for speaking to us, Tom.
So do a lot of people.
So, listen, Tom.
Yeah.
So as you know, we spoke to Chris a couple of weeks ago.
Right,
she basically confessed her love for you. And
do you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Now, didn't you have a crush on her as well?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. So now Drew has a theory about people when they really put weight on that oftentimes they do it to keep themselves away from a relationship. It's sort of like women who date guys who are in prison. It's the male version of that.
Right.
Is there a component at work with you, Tom?
I mean, in this particular relationship, I would say that I haven't put on any... I would say I'm pretty, you know, the same size I was when I met her. I wouldn't say that I put any weight on since I met Chris.
Yeah, but just in general, not for Chris, but in general, do you think that there's any truth for you... And that your weight is a way to keep people away from you.
Not just in a romantic sense and just in general?
No, in a romantic sense, but not just as it pertains to Chris. I just mean in general.
I would say I've been overweight my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, even before I got into girls.
Mm.
And so I'm not dismissing that, but
all right.
I'm not...
All right.
I don't see that too much.
Okay. Now, what are your parents overweight?
No, no one in my family is.
No one in your family, but you're overweight your whole life.
Yes.
And you weren't sexually abused.
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. How's your mom? Domineering?
I have issues with my mom. I do. I know that's so, like, textbook, but
yeah. Okay.
I love her very much, but I do. I think I feel like I don't live up to what she wants me to be a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What, you have brothers? Other brothers?
I have a brother, yep.
What's his deal? What's he doing?
He's actually pretty successful.
Uh-huh.
He's 7 years younger than me.
He have any problem in relationships?
I'm sorry, what?
Does he have any problems in relationships?
He's not real successful in that department either.
All right. What about guys? You ever think about guys?
No. But I have had people, like, ask me that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not at all.
You're gay.
All right, Drew, please. Now, so Chris, here's what we're going to need you to do.
Oh, wait, do you need to talk to Chris?
No, I'm sorry, Tom.
Okay.
Here's what we need you to do.
Okay.
We need you to begin losing weight, not only for your health, but for Chris's health, so you don't crush her when you're doing a reverse cowgirl. Okay?
Well, to me, that sounds easier said than done.
Why?
Because, I've tried, and I'm...
Well, what are you currently doing?
Well, about it right now?
Well, I don't mean...
I'm in, like, some serious-ass denial about it, and, kind of putting my head in the sand and pretending that it hasn't been a problem.
Why not some... there's some very fine surgical interventions for this.
That's actually what Chris and I were talking about tonight, the stomach stapling.
There are various things that can be done. You can look into it. There's banding and stapling and
reconnecting. I guess the thing to do would be to look into, get information on that, get as much, some consultations even on that.
Yeah. Well,
I would love to.
Okay, so look, here's all Chris wants to know. Chris wants to know is, are you going to start putting forth an effort in the weight loss department so that you guys can have a relationship?
Absolutely.
Right. You are?
Well, there you go.
All right.
That's all we were looking for, was just a sort of willingness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, we've been talking about this for about the last week, and she's really great the way... I mean, if she'd come at me, full bore with this, I mean, my shields would have gone up, and... But, she's been great about it, and I really do believe that she loves me, and...
Big fan. You guys getting intimate yet?
Little bit, but Angie,
I got you. I hear you.
What'd you say?
All right, no, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's going along fine.
Yeah, he worries me a little bit.
Yeah, he's pretty angry at women, or his mom, anyway.
Yeah, and there seems to be a part where there's a part of him that's saying, "Hey, I'm 33, I'm 400 pounds, and hey, what do you want me to do with the weight?"
Well, he's a resistance. He even alluded to it when he talked about if she had come on a little bit aggressively, would put shields up. You know, hey, you can't tell me what to do. I'm defending myself. That's why his whole body is a big defensive shield.
Yeah. All right, true. Yeah. All right.
So we have no idea what time it is because the board's out here. So we
clock's out, yeah.
We keep going.
Well, actually, I have a watch.
That's
Drew.
Why that thing is
I see.
Going.
I got a light going off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my watch, Drew.
Yeah.
Like an adult.
All right.
I'm going to look at it. Charles?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Man, there's a bunch of shit over.
Good night. You can't reset because our board's out, Anderson.
Charles, it's funny. Charles, I didn't like for the first half syllable.
I know.
Normally it takes a full syllable for me to hate some of our callers. Charles, I didn't like in the first... I was like, no, Drew didn't use the S word. Calm down, Anderson. No. It's like those guys, you have to sort of, it's like, you know what it is? It's as if they fell asleep in a drunk tank and you're poking them with a mop handle now through the bars. Hey, boy, get up, huh? Yeah. That's what it's like. His question is, his wife hasn't had sex with him in 5 months. I'm surprised it hasn't been longer. It seems light, doesn't it, Drew?
Yeah. Surprised she's had sex with him. She had.
Marcy's 17. Marcy is not with us.
Oh, she is. There she is.
There she is.
Marcy?
Yeah?
What's up?
I was just wondering if you could get a bladder infection from having sex too much.
And you can get bladder infections from having any sex.
Oh, really?
Women way more than men, and it's very common.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a couple things.
Really? Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yes, you can.
There's a couple of things. One is it's a serious thing you need to get treated because the infection can get into your kidneys and be very serious there.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, just because it hurts when you pee, it's hard for you to tell whether it's a bladder infection or a sexually transmitted disease because both can have similar symptoms.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So what else are you doing but beside talking to us?
What are you watching on TV?
Just listening to you guys on the radio and sitting in the car.
Oh, that's us.
Yeah.
With my boyfriend and this other guy.
Okay, baby doll. Well, you got to turn that down, you know. It's hard to focus.
Turn it down.
And here's the whole thing, too. Hey, if you guys could fool me by not acting half retarded while you listen to yourself on an 8-second delay come through some speakers, I'd be fine with you doing it. Like, anybody who can hear themselves come through a speaker on an 8-second delay and carry on a coherent conversation with us, I'm fine with that person. Mm-hmm. But you're clearly distracted. That's why we bring it up. I always like that. That's like when Drew, once in a while, I'll notice Drew hasn't said anything for 10 minutes. I look at him and he's doing some reading. He's going through his pager. He's doing whatever. He's working on his novel. Attending to his dogs. And I say, Drew, why don't you put that down? It's distracting. You're like, poof, I'm listening. I'm working. I hear everything. You know, it's not fair. People, no matter how distracted they are, can parrot back what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I do that.
Repetition is different than spontaneous speech.
Yeah.
It's a different mechanism.
I know. No, I do it all the time. My wife always does it. It's like, you aren't listening. Listen. Julie thinks she's the queen of the office. Sarah is nice, but can turn on you and thinks she's also the queen of the office. And I can say verbatim everything she said for the last 10 minutes. Yeah. It's a great gift.
Hey, speaking of novel, I haven't talked about my book in a while.
Oh, yes, you have. You've talked about
it. We've changed the title from Utter Hell to Cracked.
It's not coming out for a while.
It's coming out about, what are we, May, June, or 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah, but I've got to get the final manuscript in like in 24 hours.
Yeah, but you can't start plugging something that's not coming out for 3 months.
It's a good book.
I know it's a good book. I know you say it's a good book.
Would you read it?
No. You could read it to me. Would you read it to me? I'll tell you what we'll do.
Mm.
You can read me
excerpts here on the radio every night?
You can read me 10 pages a day, but you got to squeeze it in between 9:58 and whenever the show starts.
And you'll sit and listen.
I'll sit and listen as fast as you can read.
All right.
And we'll get through the book in a few months, all right?
All right.
All right. But here's the thing, Drew. Don't start plugging the book until the book comes out.
I want there to be... It's a good book.
There's a buzz. There's a big buzz. It's already a buzz. It's too much buzz. You got to calm this buzz down a little. You're going to get a buzz backlash. Do you see Spinal Tap? Do you see the movie Spinal Tap?
Yeah, too much hype.
Yeah, oversaturation.
Hmm.
Oversaturation. And Boston's not a big college town anyway.
Hmm.
Roger?
Hey.
You're 13?
How's it going?
You're calling from North Hollywood?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Off of Kittredge and Tahunga.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't you love it?
That's North Hollywood, baby doll.
Yeah.
Bad times.
Awesome.
Go ahead. Wait, what junior high you go to?
I go to St. Patrick's.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're going to be going to North Hollywood High soon?
No, I'm going to Cleveland in Reseda.
Mm. Why? You guys moving?
No, I'm just taking the bus. I heard it's a pretty good school.
You don't want to take a bus from North Hollywood to Cleveland. You might as well just go fly to Cleveland.
Reseda.
I know, but it's Cleveland High.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Cleveland High is way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid. Don't do that.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I just want to know, what are the symptoms for mono?
High fever, sore throat, prostration. You're out. You're down.
Okay. That's... All right.
Prostration means that you're knocked down.
You're not
can't
you're
move too good.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't mean shut up. Doesn't mean
Adam
sleep Desi. Though, does it?
No.
Well,
prostrate means laid out.
Okay.
Right. And also, I just want to say happy birthday, Adam.
Thanks, buddy. Tomorrow, but it's not till tomorrow.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
not for another hour, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So
if I've got a clock, I could tell you when it was.
Because I'm not calling tomorrow, because, well.
Yeah, you'll be on a bus to Cleveland.
Most likely, in all probability.
All right, don't do it. I'm telling you.
And
You're advising somebody to go to North Hollywood High? Are you high?
Here's the thing. I took a bus to Cleveland from North Hollywood High to play a football game when I was in high school. And Cleveland, I mean, North Hollywood High is closer to Cleveland High than where he lives. And it took a long time. And bus drivers drag ass. You got to pick people up. You're literally, if you got an 8 o'clock class, the bus going to be picking you up at 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to suck. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, what can I do?
Anything to avoid North Hollywood High.
You can go to the high school that's up the street. That's true, though. You don't want to go north.
Yeah.
I don't want to go
north. Right, smart.
He's smart. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drew, your kids go to the school you want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the way, it's K through high school?
Mm-hmm.
The same school.
Mm.
That just
pre-K through high school.
Pre-K through high school is, you know, that's four schools for normal people.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That is, it's probably good and bad at the same time.
That's exactly right.
Stacy, I mean, probably more good than bad. Stacy, you're 23.
Yes. Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's happening?
We're good.
I have a question about my mom and my grandma and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, for at least the past 12 years, has been hooked on prescription medication.
Which meds?
She's taken a lot of them. She's taken, her doctor has given her methadone.
Is she on methadone now?
She has been in like the past 4 months.
Methadone for the last 4 months. What else?
OxyContin, mm-hmm. oxycodone.
Well, what is she on now? What is she on now?
I don't know exactly what she's taking now, but she takes whatever she has. She's had she's probably had about 20 different pain medications.
All right.
Take Xanax.
All right.
Anything.
What's the question?
My aunt and my grandma want to get a court order to say that she's incapable to have her put into rehab. And they're wanting me to help. And I don't...
Wait. They want to get a court order to put her into treatment?
Yes.
I doubt you're going to get that.
Really? Yeah. When do they grant that kind of stuff?
I've been in the field for over 10 years. I've never seen that. It's not against the law or against your rights to get loaded in the state of California, even to the point of killing yourself.
Okay.
You can't intentionally kill yourself, but it's not against the law to accidentally kill yourself doing drugs.
What is
that? Isn't that crazy?
You
can destroy your life, destroy other people's lives, and die, and that's okay. But you can't smoke pot.
I know there's this weird thing where, like, we can't tell somebody what to do.
Yeah.
Really? That's all you guys do? I mean, maybe you only focus on the chicken-ass stuff, like the guy's got too dark a tint on his window. That stuff you have no difficulty telling us what to do.
It's really a horrible situation because these people have life-threatening illnesses. For if we could tell them, if we could control them for 30 days, we could turn their lives around. All we got to do is be able to contain them for a short period of time until their brain settles down and changes.
So what's Stacy's next choice?
Create other consequences.
Gun.
No,
she doesn't care.
Create other consequences. You have.
What about it? What about an intervention?
You can do it. That's what I'm saying. Do an intervention. That's very costly, though. But you could just. What your mom has to know is that important people in her lives will not have anything to do with her.
But she's so high. What's she?
Yeah,
care?
But that's about the only thing that does get through to people that are high like that is loss.
Why is the intervention loss so expensive?
Because the guys that do it are very specialized, and they fly to wherever you are.
Go with a local boy.
There may be some local people, and basically make sure that it's scripted, rehearsed, and it's an ambush. It has to be an ambush, and you have to, when you do ambush them, be very clear with them and with yourself that if they do not go to treatment, you're done with them.
Scripted and rehearsed.
Yeah, that is the message, though, which is if you don't get treatment, we will not be a part of your life anymore. And you have to be prepared to check out. That's it.
Cue cards or teleprompter?
A written script.
Oh, yeah, work off a script?
Yeah.
Because I'd be like...
I know you need a prompter.
It'd be like...
Or cards.
John, your drinking and drug abuse is tearing this family... I'd be like, I'm sorry, what page... What page are we on?
I've seen the way you yell at the card guys.
What?
I can't read that.
What page
are
you
high?
On? All right.
Right?
Yeah. Now I say you're I'm saving you from yourself. Mm-hmm. All right, where are we taking a break now?
Not at 9 o'clock.
According to my watch, Drew.
I guess we are.
Yeah. You know what, guys, I don't like? I don't like the guys who wear their watch on the inside. You know that guy?
Remember Craig used to have the stick-on watch?
Oh, yeah. We work with a guy who had a stick-on watch. I'm talking about a regular watch with no band. Just plain old watch, no band. Didn't say stick-on watch. It was just a watch. He stuck on with surgical tape. He was a producer, stage manager for Loveline. He would always stick it on, and some people would notice he didn't have a wristband, and others wouldn't, but he would never tell you how it was on there, and he seemed to enjoy it, and it angered me that he took a certain joy in not telling anybody.
Gay.
But no.
It was a Three Stooges watch. Okay.
Yeah. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I was sitting home watching my home improvement shows that I do every night.
Mm-hmm.
Sit around and watch all these shows on these gardening channels. And they had a commercial for Craftsman Tools. And there was a guy. There was a blind craftsman.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. The guy
How does
was
that
blind.
Work?
He's a blind furniture maker.
Oh, my God. What is this a comet? What does the furniture look like?
Modern sculpture. It's supposed to be an armoire, though. No, it looked pretty good. It made me really wonder, did the blind guy really build it? And
was he blind or visually challenged?
No, he was blind. Right. It was like, Bob Johnson, blind craftsman tool user since 1992. And he was doing his thing, talking about the precision and how, you know, he's from feeling the wood and stuff. But I'll tell you, shutting your eyes and working power equipment, stuff with carbide tipped blades on it seemed like a bad idea. But the part about the commercial I was immediately intrigued. As soon as I saw the blind guy was building something, I was going nuts. But then when he put on the shop goggles, before he fired up the 10-inch chop saw, he put on the safety goggles, and I thought, I have 20/20 vision. I've almost never put on a pair of protective goggles in the 20 years I've been doing this. But number two, you don't have much to lose when you're blind.
Yeah,
you're not suing anybody.
What are you protecting there?
I suppose you might get some kind of infection, but it was funny because
Look better to enucleate them and just put some glass things in there.
I was thinking that they're making during the making of the commercial, they're like, well, we have to have the guy don the shop goggles if and he's going to fire up the router.
It's OSHA.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, it's like, does the blind guy really need to sport the goggles? And they're clear ones, too. They should have just been blacked out. He should have just strapped a bra around his face or something. Anyway, that was... if I was blind, I would walk. You know, I would have an oven mitten in front of my face with just duct tape going around my head. We walk around, and people think it's amazing. So they wouldn't think I was blind. They'd say this guy's got an oven mitten and duct tape holding on. He's negotiating curbs and stop lights. He's getting onto the bus. He's moving around. Blind guys, they just go to work and stuff. You know, they just
they keep going.
Yeah, I grew up with Bob Ringwald, the Ringwald fam, Molly Ringwald's dad, totally blind.
Really?
He'd just leave the house in the morning and start walking down the street. Hmm. So where are you going, Bob? I'm going to grab the bus, going to the Van Nuys courthouse. Where are you going? Just heading up to Chandler. Three or four city blocks. Just chugging down the sidewalk. I just wait at the bus stop, hop on the bus, takes me down to Kester, get off there, go to the Van Nuys, make my way down. It's like, I got perfect eyesight. I'm scared to ride the bus. They just leave the house, got that stick going in front of them. I don't know. I don't like that. That's showing off. I don't need that. I have difficulty doing that. I don't like when blind people do stuff I can't do. Huh. This guy built a very nice piece of furniture, much nicer than I could build. I don't need him rubbing it in my face. Sarah?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Happy birthday, Adam.
It's not till tomorrow, baby doll.
I know, but I just want to say happy birthday anyway.
Well, thanks.
Hi, Drew.
Anyway. Hi, Lindsay. Oh, Sarah, beg your pardon.
Yeah. Okay, about a month ago, went to the doctors, and I already knew that I had HPV, because when I was 16, I found out that I did.
Mm-hmm. How did you find out you had that?
I actually, one day I was putting lotion on and I felt something on my back upper thigh, and it was a wart.
So you have warts on your thighs?
Like a, the only way that I could describe it is a wart. It was skin tone. It didn't have anything oozing from it. It wasn't painful. It was just kind of
there. Right. Warts are never painful, never oozing. They're just warts. But they're, but human papillomavirus occur on the genitalia, not on the thigh.
Well, it wasn't, it was.
Well, that was the source
of the
leak.
I guess you could say really close to the thigh, but in that area, I would call it kind of my thigh plus butt area, but it was.
How do you know it wasn't just a skin tag?
Well, another doctor saw it recently, and she said, oh, it looks like a skin tag, but I had a doctor before burn whatever it was, ice it off, basically. But I went back, and then my pap smear came back recently, and it was abnormal, and it says, well, this Friday I have an appointment. I have to go in, and on my cervix, they want to see, they want to do a colposcopy to see how much of it has gone to my cervix.
No, it's always on your cervix. That's where, yeah, that's where it goes. That thing you first had was probably a skin tag and not HPV, and HPV infects nearly half people your age. It's very common.
Yeah.
You live in San Francisco. It's extremely common. Wow. A certain percentage of HPV will persist, and that persistent virus is the one that tends to turn into the cervical cancer.
Well, but you wouldn't get the warts on your thigh, the inner thigh. I mean, how far from the vagina would HPV ever stray?
Here's the deal. Skin tag, she's describing a skin tag.
Well, she's also describing a wart.
The warts usually occur on the lips, and then they'll spread to the thighs, but they won't start on the thigh. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying. You're saying she's describing a skin tag just by virtue of the fact that it's not on the vagina.
No, by virtue of the fact that it's isolated, it's one, and it's in the place that skin tags always occur, crease. And the warts, they kind of make their way out. They kind of cluster out. You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Well, this one was
by itself
solo.
Yeah, it was, and it. I have not had any more of them. I've never had a wart. I've never.
All right.
Anyway, so you need to get colposcopy, you need to get regular pap smears, you need to have these things very carefully followed up, and we'll see whether this is the one that risks for cervical cancer. If you stay on top of it, it should be fine.
Michelle?
Hello?
What's up?
Woo.
Hi.
Hey, baby doll.
Actually, I've been listening for quite some time, and I'm sure you guys realize that part of the reason everyone listens is because of you guys also.
Thank
you. And you guys never really talk about yourselves too much, about anything, like what you do, like when you're not on the show or anything. I was just kind of wondering.
Jesus.
What the hell is she talking about?
That's all I talk about.
That's all Adam talks about. Well, you talk about high school. He never talks about what he does now.
Oh. Well, I do a lot of complaining, but you know, it doesn't, not necessarily about my schedule.
I meant, like, do you guys, like, bore us? Like, what do you guys do?
Okay, well, Drew,
I practice
very
medicine.
Quickly, go through your day. We'll both take 60 seconds. What time do you wake up?
I wake up at 6:30, make my kids breakfast, take them to school, go to the, do rounds of the
medical. Why do you got to make them breakfast?
Because I'm up and doing it. I like doing it. I go to the medical hospital.
What do you make them?
Cereal or eggs, whatever they want.
Make them cereal. That's not
well, they want cereal more than, I offer them eggs every morning. They'd have bacon if I made that, but I'm not going to make that, man.
Okay.
Bad formula.
Take them to school.
Go to the medical hospital. Then either go to Las Encinas, the psychiatric chemical dependency unit, or go to my office and then go to the chemical dependency unit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm there for treatment teams and lectures and administrative things. Each day is a little bit different, but I'm basically busy till late afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And then go home what time?
Depends on the day. I mean, all sometimes right. I try to go home at 3 or 4 in the afternoon and work out.
3 or 4, work out.
Yeah.
Then you're in for the day.
Then I deal with the kids and
baseball
practice,
writing on
little
the book,
league,
little league,
write on the book. I'm writing a book that I finished, cracked, be out in August.
6 months.
I'm so excited about that.
All right, relax. And then what?
That's
nap about. And a jack.
Nap.
What
and
do
jack.
You got?
Yeah.
Bang the Jesus out of the au pair.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the crap out of the dogs. Yell at the gardener, and then what? Mop up before the old lady gets home.
Yeah, right about then.
Now then, eat dinner with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a little TV.
Again, usually read.
Read.
And then do the homework.
Do your homework.
Do the kids' homeworks.
Do it for them.
Work with them, and then come out here.
Really? You work with your kids and doing their homework?
Every night.
Every
night.
Pretty much
every night. Yeah.
Jesus, F.
Wow.
Holy Christ.
Did Miss Mama Pinsky put her little pinky in Dr. Drew's little dump?
Wow.
Whoa.
David Allen Greer's way out of line.
So, Michelle, what did you think I did all day?
Well, I know you guys work, or I'm sure I know you work all day at least, and then do Love Line. And then I knew you're in internal medicine, right?
Yeah.
She's on what?
Internal medicine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really interested in psychiatry, and I wanted to be a psychiatrist, and I was wondering how I got into the whole radio psychiatry thing.
Blew the program director.
Total accident some 20 years ago, just when I was in medical school. Someone asked me to help out on something, and it kind of, I thought I was doing community service, basically. And so for 10 years, I did it for nothing. I just thought it was interesting and helpful, and then it became this thing.
Well, what do you do when you get home after this show, Drew?
I'm asleep by 12:38.
Really?
Asleep. I've never seen 12:45.
Really? That is such prime time.
Yeah.
That's your time.
No.
Why?
No, that's my time. That's it. I got to get up at 6:30.
You don't have to get up at 6:30 every morning.
I know.
You can sleep in a little sometimes.
I do once a week sometimes.
All right. But don't you want some time to just unwind? Your time. No?
I'm so desperate to go to sleep by then. I can't wait to go
really?
To sleep.
Really? Yeah. I hate going to sleep.
Yeah, see.
I have to force myself to
well,
go to sleep.
Sleep well. How about Adam? Wait, Michelle. Hang on. Something, Michelle.
Well, actually, I have one more question.
No. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to a medical doctor about medical marijuana, and he mentioned something about cannoids or cannabinoids that are receptors in your brain that, like, are the chemicals in cannabis attached to and can help things.
Well, it doesn't help things. It's called the anandamide system. If you want to look it up on the web, it's anandamide from the term ananda, meaning bliss. It's a Sanskrit word. And the anandamide system, the anandamide receptors, are present throughout the animal kingdom. They're even in mollusks and lower life forms. And it's a neuromodulatory receptor. We don't know that it helps anything yet. But presumably, as widespread as that may have some therapeutic value if we can research it.
Do they exist in the people who don't change the battery in their smoke detector for 6 months?
Interestingly, it's interesting. And the anandamide is very powerfully affected in the amygdala, which is a part of the brain that monitors for novelty. So the things that detects changes in the environment, and theirs appear to be kind of blocked out, right? You've got a hypervigilant amygdala, right?
Yes.
Every little thing you...
Yes, I do.
Well, wait, tell Michelle what you do.
Oh, okay. Hey, Michelle?
Yeah?
All right, I'll put you on hold. Tell you what I do. You can just listen. My schedule varies. I get up pretty early now. I go to bed... I'll get to the end of the day. I get up probably about 8 or 8:30 because I'm working on a house. And I show up at the house, and there's 7 or 8 guys who I've worked with on other houses working there. And I walk around, and I yell at everybody, and I yell, this isn't what we were talking about. And then I walk through the house with the head guy, and I tell him what I want. And then I pick up a hammer and swing it a little myself. And it usually gets me through to about 11 o'clock. And then 11 in the morning, I head down to Jimmy Kimmel's show. Frantically comb through the USA Today, find some talking points, things Jimmy might want to talk about on that evening show, sit down for a writer's lunch with about 8 or 10 other guys, go through one at a time all our talking points, do that, break at that about 2, and then I usually run over to the back to the house and yell, why didn't you do what I told you to do last time I was here? And then, yes.
You and I both do something that's hard to explain with meetings.
Yeah, you have these little meetings every once in a while and talk to a lot of people on the cell phones and all that kind of
which
junk.
Which is just sort of future things you might want to be participating
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so. Lunch is about nothing that'll ever happen. And I run up the house, yell at everybody, line everybody out on what's going on the next day, and then I run back down the hill to Jimmy's office again. And now Jimmy has decided what all his talking points are going to be for that evening, and now it's time to write jokes for those talking points. So I sit there and write jokes.
Did you go back to write the jokes?
Go back to write the jokes, because he hears all the talking, the ideas. Well, you could bring this up, you could bring that up.
He decides.
So on and so forth. Right. Then he decides what he wants to talk about, then he gives everyone a list of like 10 things he might want to talk about, then you sit there and write tons of jokes for that stuff and turn all that in by like 6:30 in the evening. Then I go home. Now it's nap time. Mm. Oh, yeah. But bed down for about, my naps have been short, 30, 35 minutes, something like that. Then skip some rope, usually. No, then I eat. Then I skip rope. Then the old lady comes home from work, and I tell her to talk to me whilst I skip rope because I get bored. So I just skip rope and talk to her, and it's funny because it's in this syncopated pattern. You know, it's like, how was work today? Good. I am fine. Jimmy's was fun. Not last night, but the night before. And then I take a shower about 9:25 and scoot off to work. Come home about 12:30, a couple glasses of wine.
Oh, boy.
Watch Jimmy's show on TiVo to see if any of the jokes made it on. And a possible beat-off session. Go to bed about 2 and start over again. There you go. All right. We're going to need to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Lindsay, who's 22, fantasizes about husband with other women. Wants to know if a threesome's going to hurt the marriage. Calling from Utah, of all places, after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. I'll forget about that. We don't need your calls. Lindsay.
Yeah.
22. You want to have the threesome, or you fantasize about a threesome with your husband?
Well, mainly I just fantasize about him with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My main question was, I was wondering why I've been thinking this way. Everybody thinks I'm crazy.
Because you're getting too close to your husband. You need to inject a little hell into this. Mm-hmm. You need to push things away. You need to create some chaos.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, what about the part where you fantasize about him with another woman? Do you fantasize about him cheating on you, or do you fantasize about him with an ex-girlfriend? How do you do that?
Mainly cheating. Or when he tells me another woman is good-looking, it kind of makes, turns me on.
And,
he'll tell me things like that. Or when he watches pornos, it turns me on.
But does it turn you on in a sort of naughty or negative way, even? Like, it's sort of it turns you on, but it's not a good thing. I mean, there's plenty of things in life that you sort of lust after that are wrong. Do you know what I mean? Does it have a wrong feel to it?
Yeah.
Like, you're not proud of yourself for thinking that way?
I don't know.
Okay.
It could be.
I think when people won't venture a guess on their own feelings.
I'm just listening for a smoke alarm.
All right. So, do you feel bad when you have these feelings? I don't know. You don't. Okay. So, what about, how long have you been? All right. Well, where's your dad?
He's at home.
He's at home.
I have a really good relationship with my dad.
Okay. Love him very much.
Very much.
And you've never had any problems with intimacy, like you're in a relationship and it just felt like you're being suffocated and you needed to get out?
Yeah, I used to.
Until
I met my husband.
And what's different about him?
I don't know. It's just different with him. He's been married for about 3 years.
And tell me about him. What kind of guy is he?
It's different.
He's a really good guy.
Mm-hmm. And the other guys were not such good guys?
No, not really.
Yeah, this is... Mm-hmm. This is that.
No, but she got out of that. She felt like she needed to get out of those.
Right. She felt suffocated in those, and those weren't working right. And now here's one that works, but she's got to inject the chaos back into this one, too.
Would you seriously consider having a threesome or letting him screw around with somebody?
I've actually thought about it. There's a really close friend of mine that I've asked, and now that's all he can think about.
Oh, your husband?
Yeah.
I
told him the way I felt.
Is this friend of yours attractive?
Yeah.
And hold on. What is producer Ann? Maybe you can chime in here. Where's this never-ending supply of sort of attractive single 20-something-year-old women who are like these surrogate vaginas? You know, it's like, me and Nancy are having ourselves a relationship over here. Could you blow my husband while I masturbated? Or you're single, aren't you? Hey, he wants to F you. His birthday's coming up. His birthday's coming up. And we've done the whole Ferrell's thing. That's old. We tried the softball thing. That seemed boring. He wants to F you. Are you cool with that? Like, where's this endless supply of just, attractive 23-year-old single women who are just, yeah, I guess I could blow the guy a little. I mean, with that, like this, should I just, you want me to blow him now? Or, what time is it? Okay, so when? This Friday. Yeah, I'll blow him. I'll bring my blowing pumps. Yeah, and you,
and
what?
Should
what? I?
Should know.
And then,
it's crazy.
And then, what about me and you? Should I go down on you?
Did you ever have friends or your sister have friends or anything that got into this stuff?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of, Or, like, if they ask you, like, look, I'd like you to go down on me for a while, and then we could both sort of team my husband. Like, we both blow him simultaneously. And then it's like, geez, I'm really sorry, but it's just not my, like, they feel guilt-racked now. Somebody asks them this, and they won't accommodate. Lindsay, your friend said this would be cool?
No, she's kind of on the ups and downs about it. She thinks it'll ruin our relationship but and our relationship.
She's got to give it some thought, though.
Yeah.
Well, it will, Lindsay.
I like to give it some. I even like to give it some thought, person too. Like you, just like you're asking your friends to borrow $800.
Yeah.
Times are pretty tight, but I don't know. I mean, if you didn't pay me back, there'd be some tension. I just don't want it to be a scene. It's
what do you need it for again?
It's not about the blowjob.
Why is it important?
It's not about the blowjob. Yeah. All right, so Lindsay, it sounds like you're trying to tear this thing apart. We don't trust your instincts. Here's the final determiner. Do you have kids?
I have two.
No, you can't do
that. No, you can't, you
idiot. Are you an addict, Lindsay? You've been addicted to anything?
Speed?
No.
You've never been addicted to anything in your life?
I used to be.
What were you addicted to?
Math.
All right, that's what
didn't
I
did. Didn't I yell speed? I know the speed.
This is your part of your addiction.
Listen, though. Spindly, you got two kids, screwball. You got to start acting like an adult. You understand?
I'm an adult.
Yeah, barely. Come on, you got two kids. Now focus on
you're
it.
You're not behaving like one. And I do suggest, I know you're not in recovery. I suggest, if you are in recovery, you talk to your sponsor about this. This is, you're on your way into a relapse.
It's funny. Now, if I said speed, she said meth. If I say meth, I bet she says speed.
Right.
it's always weird. It's like, no register. Listen, I know that speed sound. It's that sun-blasted white trash thing. I'm a good mom. I shoot a little. Yeah, I shoot some smack and have a threesome and turn a trick now again. And I'm no stranger to the booze, but I take care of my kids. I love them. I love them. They're like chain smoking and there's veins popping out of their forehead. I love them. I'm good to them.
Don, 23.
They start explaining what they would do. Hey, if anyone tried to do anything to my kids, I'd kill them. It was like that. It's like, oh, you're a great mom because you'd put a coat hanger through someone's neck if they ever tried to do anything. I'm a great mom. I'll kill you. I'll kill you if you try anything. Don?
Hello.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Is it possible for my boyfriend to give me a yeast infection?
Are you getting recurrent yeast infections?
Well, the thing is I'm going to school a few hours away, and I only see him maybe like once a month. Mm-hmm. And every time that we have sex, I end up getting a yeast infection, and I cure it, and then we have sex again, and then I get another one.
It's possible that that's what's happening, but it's even more common that just having something introduced into your vagina causes a yeast infection. Is he wearing a condom?
Yeah.
You might try changing brands. It might be the irritation from that. So you have sort of an ecosystem in there that gets upset when he enters.
So it's possible I'm allergic to him then?
Not even allergic. It just, you know, it upsets the balance of power in there. And he can't give you yeast infection if he's wearing a condom.
Okay.
Right? They can't.
No.
All right. Guys don't normally. What are guys? Guys give women bladder infections, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then that's
better just from hitting against the urethra.
And the yeast is usually, women get yeast infections on their own, right?
It's in there and it overgrows if something upsets the environment there.
But it's really, it's like you can't introduce foreign objects into that area. Like you can't bring, like remember when guys went to the moon and they got moon rocks?
Yeah, you can't have any moon rocks.
They didn't just let the astronauts just carry them home and throw them in their koi pond.
Right.
They had to watch them for like months, make sure everything was cool.
Remember when you used to go wait in line to go see moon dust? It'd be in museums and things. Remember that?
Yeah. You'd be like, hey, look at that moon dust.
It'd be a little vial.
You'd be like, no, that's just dust that's gathered actually on the case that the moon dust is in. That's the moon dust. Oh, really? That's not the dust? Yeah, the idea was at the moon somewhere, but you get over it. I don't know what you were expecting. Moon rock looks like a piece of lava rock or looks like any rock, right?
Yep.
Now, why should it be all that different? It's not really that far away from us if you're in planetary terms. Let's take another call here and talk to
Eric.
Still not as exciting as the La Brea Tar Pits. billions of years ago, where we stand, wolves roamed wild. Really? The 76 station not there? No. Millions of years ago. Well, Yeah, I believe it. So no difference from the Miracle Mile of Wilshire and let's say I don't know, Van Nuys, Beverly Hills. No different. No, millions of years ago, there was none.
Well, no, is it? These wolves came upon these same tar pits millions of years ago.
Well, what about the Robinson's May? That's an old building.
The Orbox?
Orbox, that's old. I've seen my grandmother told me that was around when she was a kid. Millions of years ago, none of this was... Yeah, all right. Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 29.
Right, I'm 29.
Your wife's breasts taste weird because she's on medication?
Well, I don't know if that's it or not.
What medication is she on?
I know she's on Neurontin. She has epilepsy, and she's on a couple others. She's changed a few recently, but...
All right, well, maybe it's causing her to produce breast milk, which is one thing that medicines commonly do.
Well, I know when she was pregnant with our daughter, she wasn't allowed to breastfeed, but I don't...
That is because some of these medicines can be excreted in the breast milk, but she normally shouldn't be having excretions out of there. But many psychiatric medications will cause breast milk production, and that would taste funny, possibly.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it's good times. Yeah. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. That's it. I make myself a note here to bring in some songs I want to hear tomorrow night.
Oh, we forgot for your birthday. Let's go out with a little blood, sweat, and tears.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Right now's your birthday.
No, I don't get into that crap. Make myself a little bring songs.
Deep Purple. Yeah. Humble Pie.
Maybe some new stuff, yeah?
Maybe we'll hear some Hocus Pocus by Focus. You remember that one? Guy yodels in the song. It's good times. All right, so I look forward to that tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. What happened? You get dropped on your head when you were younger?
No, my sister hit me with a frying pan, though.
That could do it.
Yeah!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.